welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Raylene, and...
Me! It's Ariel.
I feel like you have such a dramatic entry sometimes, and I love it. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, man, how's it going for you today? Have anything special going on?
Yes. I am in such a good mood, Raylene. I'm in a good mood. I have been excited to record the podcast all week because I have some like fun stuff to talk about.
Really? Okay.
But just specifically today, I am in a very good mood. I think partly because over the weekend, I was very productive on house projects. And it's kind of honestly been months of not working on house projects. I think I just kind of burnt out last year. I was working so much on the house, making videos about it all. And I just kind of reached a break point. And after many months off, it's finally like properly summer and I feel like, yeah, I want to do stuff again. And me and my dad worked on these two projects that will go up on my channel soon. But like, I felt really productive. So that was really, I think, a big part of it. But
yeah, that's huge.
Here's the situation, okay? Here's the main reason why I'm happy today. I'm so excited to tell you. It's not even, you already know about it. It's literally not a big deal at all. But whatever, I'm going to talk about it. So basically, there is a pool nearby. There's a pool nearby. Raylene's gonna be like, you're just excited you went swimming. Yes.
I mean, yeah. I had this last week. I had just gone swimming a few times. So
yeah, it's true, actually, though. So there's a pool nearby, and I know that they have like a kid swim situation. But it's just like a community pool, so it's not like an epic aquatic center or something. So they don't have like a lot of swim times. And so I decided to kind of swing by on one of the kids' swim times to see if they have lanes for adults.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'd love to go swimming, but if it's only for kids, that's totally fine. So I swung by and I went up to the lifeguard and I was like, hello, not to distract you from the kids, but is there like a way to do a lane swim? And she was like, oh, lane swim is every day from 1 to 2. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, it's every day 1 to 2, $2. I was like, a toonie? It's a steal! So I was so, so excited because I love swimming. And it's probably my favorite type of exercise. But obviously the big problem is if you don't have a pool, it's hard to swim.
Yeah, it's so hard.
It's so hard to pull that off. And so this pool being nearby, I was like, this is going to be the best. So I found that out on the Friday. And I was told my parents, I was like, guys, starting on Monday, I'm going to become a swimming champion. And they were like, we want to come. I was like, yes, let's do it. So today, and we were, all three of us were nervous. It was really cute. We were like, oh my God, like, what if it's full? What if, whatever? Like, I don't know, you know, because it's like the first time going to a facility. You don't know the rules, the norms, what you're going to do, what's going to happen. We show up. And it was the cutest thing ever. Like, first of all, completely empty. Because, like, I live in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, who's going to a pool at 1 p.m. on a Monday? No one.
Pretty much no one.
Just me and my parents. And, yeah, we swam for, like, 30 minutes. We were all of us exhausted because, you know, none of us have been swimming in ages. And so it's a very particular type of exercise, stamina, cardio. And we're just like, oh my God. Oh my God. But it was so, so wonderful. It's an outdoor pool, which I don't remember the last time I was in an outdoor pool. That's I have been, but I haven't been in one in ages. And it just honestly, really, I felt so zen. I was just floating there, like looking at the trees and feeling the sun on me. And I was like, this is living. So I had so much fun. I came home and I showered and then I was going to record the pod. And I was like, what a great day. This is great. So
that's so nice. And it's nice to like, you know, you've done your exercise. So like you feel productive for the day in that way.
Yeah.
And now you can just kind of chillax.
Yeah. So I want to see how often I can go.
Can you get like a pass that, you know, would cost you less than a toonie if you were to go, say, every day?
That's a smart idea. Because if
I
it
feel
was,
like you should get into that.
It was, if it was a toonie and I went every single day, which would never happen. But if it was Monday to Friday for 4 weeks, people are like, that's obviously this amount of money. It's $40, right? Yeah. That's still pretty cheap, though. Like, I feel like you wouldn't that's be true. Able to get that price for at like a normal nice fancy pool. So yeah, anyways, I hope I can go a lot because it's an outdoor pool, doesn't have a very long season, like it's only open for the summer. So, but that's fine. I can just, this can be my swimming summer. I'm ready for it. I'm so ready.
Summer of swimming.
It also felt very Stranger Things. Because, you know, like, Stranger Things season 3, a lot summer. Of it's at the pool. Like, yeah. And Billy is the lifeguard, and there's the, like, all of those vibes. I was like, yes, this is awesome. I love it. I love it. Incredible. I'm also excited to talk to you about some other things. A lot of exciting book stuff to talk to you, Raylene, about.
Ooh.
A lot of cool stuff. But, yeah, I wanted to... It's kind of funny that the pool thing happened today, because the other huge thing I was excited to talk to you about this week was that my new life ambition is to become a beach bum.
Oh, yeah.
I've texted you about this. So
tell the people. Tell the people.
I've decided my new goal in life, at least for the foreseeable future, is to become a beach bum. And if you haven't ever heard that term, it's just kind of a dumb slang term for people that are lazy and go to the beach a lot. Like those kinds of people that are always hanging by the beach. And I think it's definitely more of like a California vibe of like people who have access to sunny beaches all of the time. But I live in Nova Scotia. And I live, like, the coast is available to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not a long drive at all. And so I'm like, God, it's the classic thing you and me talk about all the time, Raylene, where it's like, we've all got to be better tourists of our own towns. Like, we choose to live in these places because we like certain things about them. But then we only do those things, like, 2 times a year.
That's crazy.
It's just crazy, Raylene. It's just crazy. So I was like, oh, God, I want to start going to the beach more. So I went, like, once or twice in the span of a week. And, which is more than I usually do. And I was like, yep, I will become a beach bum now.
I was like, this is it. It's decided.
So I'm like finessing my beach bum skills. Number one, first time I went without a blanket. Rookie mistake. What, am I just going to sit on the sand? Yeah, I mean, what gross. Am I thinking? The other thing is beaches are windy. You don't think about that. Especially like a Nova Scotia beach. So took a sweater. And every time I think of something else to take, and I'm like, yeah, I need this. I'm like finding
soon you'll be living on the beach. You won't ever have to leave.
A tent. A house. Wait, I should bring in plumbing. Yeah, maybe. What if like I don't know, like 10 years from now, I buy a house on the beach and you're just like, she did it. She became the beach bum she always wanted to be.
I can really see that happening.
So maybe, oh my God. Maybe there's people out there who are noticing what I'm talking about. The pool, the beach. I'm becoming the mermaid I was always meant to be.
Oh.
The prophecy has come to fruition. How about you, Raylene? Anything fun going on in your life? Anything water related, maybe?
I mean, I haven't gone swimming since the last time you and I spoke, but I felt really at home when I was swimming.
Yeah.
Like I love being in the water, but I don't like the beach. That's like a different thing about me.
That's interesting.
I don't like sand. I don't like the ocean. Got a bit of a fear of the ocean.
Oh, that's fair.
I'll be true. But yeah, I just love being in water, like lakes and pools.
Yes.
Can't get enough of that. And like, I love the sound of rain. I'm just a water gal through and through. But yeah, as far as like things going on in my life, I mean, as of today, it's July 11th. My wedding is exactly a month from today.
That's so actually nuts.
Yeah, it's happening very soon.
Oh my God.
I'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks, which is very exciting. So I'm just like, I'm kind of on a high right now. It's like lots of things are happening. Things are changing. It's just getting wild. So I'm excited about life right now.
Oh, I love
I'm
that.
Feeling
that
makes me jazzed.
Happy. Yeah,
yeah.
That makes me really happy.
Yeah.
I guess we should talk about books.
I suppose. I've been really busy just like dealing with preparations for things and everything.
Yeah.
So I haven't been reading that much, honestly. But I guess I'll just start. I'm still currently reading The Dishwasher that I talked about last week. I'm still really loving it. I'm just reading it very, very slowly. But yeah, it's still super good. I love the kitchen atmosphere. I just love that. So if anybody else has other books that are like about kitchens or restaurants or cooking in general, like I specifically like the like high intensity, like commercial kitchen type of vibe. Like I am obsessed with watching cooking shows and I don't know, reading this book just reminds me of that. I'm like, oh my God, it's like, this is like a Gordon Ramsay show, and like, this is so stressful. And I just love it. I love it. I love it. So yeah, I'm about halfway through it now. But that's it. I haven't really finished anything. I've started something new. Oh. I did start The Night Circus.
Oh, yeah. Woo, woo.
We're reading The Night Circus now for our book club. And I finally started it the other day. I'm listening to it on audiobook. And cool. It's a little bit weird because Jim Dale reads it, who is one of the audiobook narrators for the Harry Potter books. Like, there's the Jim Dale ones, and then there's the Stephen Fry ones.
Yeah.
And so listening to this, I'm like, this is a little strange because I'm so used to hearing his voice, you know, pretending to be Hermione's voice. It's like, what is this? But I'm starting to get used to it. So I am enjoying it. And it definitely works well as an audiobook. I just like don't have time to sit down to read that book right now, you know? So I was like, I think the audiobook is the way to go. And luckily, it's going well. I'm really enjoying the book, which is good. I was scared that I wasn't going to like it again after all these years, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. We were talking, so yesterday we had our Patreon live stream, because we do monthly live streams with our patrons, just to hang out, but we also kind of read during them, usually only for like 10, maybe 20 minutes. But
yeah, we're really bad at the reading part.
But I was reading The Night Circus yesterday at the live show, and it was really a little bit, I don't know, not stressful, but just I'm trepidatious starting this book that in my head I really remember liking. I'm curious about you, but for me it was never like a 5 out of 5, like this is an all-time favorite for me. It was very much solidly in that kind of 4 to 4.5 star range. I do remember wishing it had a little bit more plot, but like that didn't ruin it for me. Like, it was still a fantastic book that I really enjoyed. It just didn't become one of my favorites.
It was a 5-star read for me, I first read it. I read it with a book club that was like just an online, like a Goodreads kind of chat room type of thing, where we would just like talk about part one and we would talk about our theories for the next part and everything. And so we kind of like took our time with it, which was really nice. Yeah. So I had a lot of time to like discuss and come up with theories, and it kind of like enriched the reading experience for me a bit, I think. So it just like, it was very solidly a 5-star read back then. We'll see if it still is. I have no idea.
I'm curious, like, how, I don't know, how a person who's a decade later will feel about it. Like, how will I feel about it 10 years on?
Totally. Are you reading anything else?
Raylene, I am so excited to talk about the books this week. Really? People are sick of me already. They're like, Ariel, we get it. You're excited. But I just have so many things to talk to you about. So this is a little bit cheesy and dumb, but do you remember the books I was talking about last week?
Novels.
Yeah.
There was Hellphone. I don't remember what all their names were.
Okay, let's start with Hellphone.
I remember Hellphone. That's the one
I read most. And I loved it.
Oh my God.
I absolutely loved it. And I give this such a big stamp of approval. Like, go, 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 buy Hellphone. So this was such a fun, sweet story. It really reminded me of Scott Pilgrim it's kind of a little bit bizarro, a little bit like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
But also, you know, you just have characters who are like in their early 20s on an adventure kind of vibes, but not like an epic quest. Like, it's set in a city. And basically what happens is right at the beginning, we have these two characters. They're not roommates. They're neighbors. They're like next door neighbors. And they're right outside of their apartments. The drawings are so cute. They're right outside of their apartment. And in a bush next to her, one of the girls hears a phone ringing. And it's like a little flip phone. She picks it up. She opens it. And there's just this like scary voice on the other side that says an address. And she's like, huh? And, you know, the person hangs up. So when her neighbor comes out, who's kind of like her best friend, she's like, this just happened to me. We should go and check it out. And so they kind of fall into this mystery of like what's going on. And it turns into like a murder mystery. There's the tiniest bit, the like tiniest bit of a supernatural thing going on. I don't even know if I can call it that. Like, it might not be. So the only frustrating thing about this is that this is book one And I don't know how many books it's going to be. And this one came out in 2022. So, I know. That is definitely a bummer. I did look up the author, and I am so, author/illustrator Benji Nate. I am so excited that she has a bunch of other books.
Oh, good.
And some of them seem to be standalones. So I am for sure going to be checking her out. I loved her art. One of the things I really loved about this is that it's full bleed pages. Do you see what I mean? Like, the illustrations go all the way to the edge.
Oh, yeah.
And it just felt really nice. Immersive. And it's full color. It's just beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah. I'm so happy.
All right. Do you remember any of the other books I talked about last week?
I know there was the one that had the orange as like a color in it.
All right, let's talk about No One Else, which I also read.
Wow, I love that.
So, No One Else by R. Kikuo Johnson. This I had not heard of. I hadn't heard of any of these books, actually. Like, they were all books when I was shopping that just seemed really interesting, and I thought I'd give them a shot. So I really like this one. So different than Hellphone. Hellphone is like bubblegum, you know? Like, it's just like fun and cute and adventurous and kind of like spunky, I guess I'd say. Yeah. This one is more sad. It's more dramatic. Oh. It really reminded me of Adrian Tomine's stories, where it's pretty adult. Not like adult. This one didn't have any like sex stuff in it or like real violence, or it didn't have anything like that, but it's just like watching an adult drama where you're like, this isn't fun. It's interesting.
No kid would like this.
no kid would like this. I mean, maybe some very intelligent kid would like it.
Intellectuals.
But it was a very beautiful story. So I could really imagine, it felt like a movie. It felt like a slow, quiet, beautiful movie. And I would absolutely check out more by this author. I actually ended up doing a reading vlog for our Patreon about this one.
Nice.
And what I said in that reading vlog was like, if you're into graphic novels, I really think you should check this one out. Like, it's really good. And as long as you like already know that you like graphic novels, I think you'd like it. If you're not into graphic novels yet, I maybe wouldn't start with this one because it is a bit slower and it is a little more serious. So it's a little bit, it's not as fun, I guess. But yeah, so basically it's about this woman who's a nurse, and she has a young son. He seems to be like 8 or 9, and she has an elderly father that she has to take care of, and he needs a lot of care. And so basically right at the beginning, the elderly father passes away. And so it's one of those situations, it's one of those kinds of stories where you have a person who's in a miserable life, and then something snaps and things have to change. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of feel like, you know, it feels like Manchester by the Sea. Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Ooh, you should. Really? You should watch that movie.
I've been meaning to watch it, man.
I think
alongside
like
hundreds of others.
Very sad. Very sad. Hey. Hi, Simon.
Simon, you're ruining it.
Hi, Simon. You couldn't ruin anything, buddy. Yeah, well, it's one of those kind of sad but beautiful stories, you know? And there's like this subplot about a cat. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Okay, do you remember any of the other books I mentioned?
Oh, I feel like there was one that had a really cute, like, pastel-y kind of color palette, maybe with one or
you
two
mean
people
this
in the front.
One?
Yeah, that one.
Afternoon at McBurger's by Anna Galvin, which I also read.
Oh my goodness.
So it turns out this one is, I didn't realize this, of course, when I bought it, but this one is translated from Spanish by Jamie Richards. So
that's cool.
This is interesting. Okay. This was actually the first one I read out of my little graphic novel haul. This book was very beautiful.
Yeah.
The illustrations are gorgeous. I mean, I'm showing them to you right now.
I love
just it. Stunning. The colors, the use of straight lines. Like, it's just really, really beautiful. However, the story, I kind of felt like it wasn't finished. Like,
oh yeah,
it felt really spacey and pretty short. So it's sort of like scenes were missing. Simon is happy.
I can't. Simon, you need to stop.
It felt like how do I put this? It's like speculative fiction. So basically, it's the story of these three girls, which I can show you right there, Raylene.
Yep, there they are.
Oh, and I guess they're on the cover as well. These three girls who go to basically McDonald's, right? It's called McBurgers, but clearly it's McDonald's.
Yeah.
They go to McDonald's and they order this special thing that I guess you can only order once in your life. And when you order it, it's a little box. You open it and it either says that you're invited to participate or you're not. And once they are invited in, basically they go, they push a button. It's kind of complicated. They go into a room where they push a button and then it shows them three pictures. And those pictures are of them in the future. So imagine you see a 35-year-old version of you, a 65-year-old version of you, and an 85-year-old version of you.
That's crazy.
And then you can click to go into one of them, kind of Back to the Future style, but you only get to spend like 2 or 3 minutes there, something like that.
Yeah.
So, okay, the concept was really cool, but it was really vague. It was sort of like, I don't know. It felt like stuff was missing and it felt, like you said, really short. Like I would have liked it to be quite a bit longer because it didn't really feel like a story. It felt more like a flash fiction, I guess, where you're just sort of
It sounds like plot wise, it sounds like something that would be a lot longer than it is as well.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot to tell.
Yeah. So I definitely am interested in checking out more by this author illustrator. And I think what would be really cool is if I could get my hands on one of her other books in Spanish, because I feel like that would be really cool to get to read it in Spanish. But I wasn't like the hugest fan of this one, but I did enjoy the art. Mm. Okay. Do you remember any of the, there's three more books I'd mentioned last week.
Oh, I'm just thinking about the graphic novels. I think I remembered the last one. The last one has, I think, three girls on the cover as well, but it has boys in the title?
Yes!
Or something like that?
Lonely Boys.
Lonely Boys. That's what it was. Yeah.
Which I also read.
She's on fire, people. Whoa.
Okay, so Lonely Boys is by S. Bedard. And Raylene, you have to get this one. I really think that you'll read. I mean, out of this pile, out of the four that I read, Hell Phone was probably my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
I love the illustration style. I loved the colors. I really enjoyed the story. Yeah, but this is a super, super close second. This is really good. And I think anyone who enjoys the kind of contemporary graphic novels, things like Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me, like... now I'm blanking, but that kind of type of graphic novel, anyone who likes those would really like this one. So the only letdown from this book was that it's black and white. And it's funny because the cover is so beautiful and the colors on the cover are so beautiful that I was like, oh my God, if this had been a fully colored book, this would have been like one of the most stunning graphic novels I've ever read. And it also felt a little disappointing because this was the fourth one I'd read. Of the four graphic novels, and I'd enjoyed such different color palettes, and then this one was just black and white.
It's black and white.
But, you know, it totally works, and it's super fun to read. I found it really beautiful and fun. Like, I enjoyed the drawing style. And this one, out of all of them, I kind of bonded with the characters the most.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's about these three... girls. I think they're all probably between the ages of like 24 and 26. Like that kind of range. And so basically two of them live in an apartment together, and then one day the third one shows up, and they clearly were friends with her before, but she kind of betrayed them or something, and you're oh, what happened? And so basically she was their third roommate, and a year ago she literally just abandoned them. Just like ditched and left, and they never heard from her again. And they obviously, like, it's implied in the plot that they knew she was fine. It wasn't like a murder case. Like she must have left a note or something that was like, I'm moving out, and they were able to like maybe see her on Instagram that she was still alive and fine. But it was just like she just left. And obviously they were really upset about it because the three of them had been really close friends. But now she's back and she seems to kind of want to just instantly be friends with them again. But the other two are like, that's not how that works. Like,
no.
our trust in this relationship's really been broken. So it was this really, really beautiful story of kind of a little bit of slice of life. These three young women in this kind of transitionary period of life. One of them is, like, dealing with a lot of boyfriend stuff, and she's just, like, has just gone through a bad breakup and is trying to understand what she wants next. The other one, actually, I don't want to spoil too much about it, but there is an abortion that's a part of this story that I found, you know, I did not know that, and I don't think it says it in the description.
It just hit at the right moment,
kind of. But that's, yeah, exactly. Like, with everything that's going on in the States, it was sort of like, wow. Oof. You're reading it and you're like, this is actually set in Montreal, which was cool.
Oh.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that, and I also didn't realize that. The biography for the author is really funny. It says, Sophie Bedard is not a lonely boy. And then it, you know, has the whole thing, but then it says Bedard lives in Montreal. So I don't know if this book was translated or not, or if she, you know, if she writes in English. I'm not really sure. Yeah. But oh no. It is translated. I'm glad I checked. Translated by Robin Lang and Helga Dasher. So it must have been written in French originally. That's cool.
Yeah. Love that.
So I really like this one, Raylene.
Oh, I'm so glad you read all of them.
I read all of them. I read the four graphic novels. But that's not it. Do you remember the other two books?
I've been trying to remember. This whole time you were talking, I'm like, what were the other two? And I just can't remember. Like, I remember the zine.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't remember what the other books were, so hit me with it.
Well, I was currently reading The Anthropocene Reviewed by John Green.
Oh, yeah.
And I finished it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so happy for you.
I actually finished it today. I was trying to read it this whole kind of last few days. And I was like, oh, my God, I really want to finish it in time for the podcast. Because I was like, after I'd read the four graphic novels. Well, okay, yeah. So basically what happened... was I finished recording the haul last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, gosh, it would be cool if I read one or two of these for the next week. And then when I started, I was like, you know what? It'd be cool if I read all four of them because that would be like really exciting and fun. And then I thought it would be cool if I just read everything I talked about last week. So then the race was on and I...
Oh my God, you got competitive with yourself.
I got competitive myself. So... Okay, The Anthropocene Reviewed. I almost feel like I can't review it. Like, it's just, I don't know why. Like, it just feels so like such a big book. Okay, I'm literally sitting here like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? I mean, I should obviously start with, I really liked it. I thought it was fantastic. If you like John Green... Like, if you are already a fan of his or you enjoy his videos or you've enjoyed any of his books in the past, I think you'd really enjoy this. It has that really lovely, accessible readability that he is so good at. Reading his books doesn't feel like a chore even a little bit. It feels so natural and easy. But it has that really wonderful thoughtfulness that all of his other books have as well. It feels really compassionate and like he never says anything or never even really experiences anything without thinking about the consequences of what that mean and the people that is affecting. If you haven't read any John Green or you don't, you're just like, yeah, well, I mean, I've watched one or two of his videos, whatever. I think you'd still really like this book because it has, first of all, such a fun format. So obviously people probably know, but they might not. So the I just opened it and my edition is signed, but he literally mentions how they're all signed. Like his signature is so meaningless in an interesting way. It's not numbered, but there's probably like 30 or 40 different chapters and they're all essays. And those essays are all reviews of different things in the world. So we've got things spanning from Diet Dr. Pepper to songs. He reviews a couple different songs. Canada Geese, a couple of different the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Oh yeah.
CNN. He reviews a couple different movies. The concept of whispering, just whispering, like out of 5 stars, what do I give whispering?
Yeah.
A photograph. Like, he really reviews everything. The QWERTY keyboard.
Love that.
And what's really fantastic about the book is it feels like one of those things. I feel like there might be a term or an expression for this, but the kind of thing where when you read it, you're sort of like, gosh, how has no one thought to do this before? Like, it's yeah. such a fun and brilliant and interesting way to do essays and to do a memoir. Mm-hmm. It's almost crazy that no one has done it before, but of course John did, and it's so beautifully done. It's really because of the form, it has this like compelling little thing where you are excited to hear how many stars he's gonna give it. And I feel like throughout the process you're kind of thinking, oh, I think he's going to probably give it like 3 stars, or I think he's going to give it 5 stars. And then when he reaches the end and he gives it the thing, every single time I was never surprised. I was always like, yes, that's kind of what I was only off by like a half star or something. Like, I was like, yes, that's what I thought you'd give it. So that had like a fun little game,
interactive kind of game.
Yeah. And the other, like, a couple of things. One, I listened to the audiobook instead of reading the physical book, which I sort of, you know, I was really planning to read it because I know that it has footnotes.
Yeah.
But I'm also just like, there was certain things in the audiobook that there weren't in the physical book. One of them being one of the final chapter essays is about a bird that has gone extinct.
Yeah.
And I forget, did you listen to the audiobook or did you read it?
I read it.
Oh, okay. So in the one that about the bird going extinct, they play the sound of the bird.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, that is a really cool thing that you wouldn't get if you were just reading it. There was another thing I was going to mention. Oh, yeah. Okay, final thing. I feel like this is so far, I'm sure there will be so many that I read, but so far, this is the first and most pandemic book I've ever read, or I've read so far. Because, you know, On Beauty by Zadie Smith, I don't know if you remember me reading that one. Mm-hmm. Was it On Beauty? No. The short.
No, I don't think so, but I know which one I know what you're talking about.
What the hell is it called? No, you're right. It's not On Beauty. Well, the one I read, that was supposed to be a pandemic book. And I was like, maybe sort of a little bit, but it didn't really feel that much like a pandemic. Imitations. It was called Imitations.
Yeah. Ah, there you go.
And then, you know, Lapvona is supposed to be a pandemic book. And I'm sort of like, I guess it was written during the pandemic, but is it?
Like, I wouldn't call it that, though.
Yeah, exactly. And so, again, I'm sure there's loads, and I just haven't read them yet. But I'm just saying, for me, this was the first book that I'd read that I was like, you know, it's called The Anthropocene Reviewed, Essays on a Human-Centered Planet. I almost think it should be called The Anthropocene Reviewed, The COVID-19 Edition. Like, there is so much influence from the pandemic on this book. Many of the essays are kind of directly about it. Like, one of them is all about smallpox, and some of them are about viral disease. But then also you just have kind of this thread of John talking about how the pandemic is affecting us all. And it didn't feel dated in any way, but it really transported me to 2 years ago, because obviously that's when he was writing a lot of it and editing it. So I really enjoyed it. I'm really glad I finally read it. And yeah, I definitely recommend it. I also like found it really fun as a person who really likes John Green to learn more about his life and just be like, oh my God.
Yeah, because it does have memoir-y bits. Like, there are lots of tidbits that just like give you glimpses into his life, which I wasn't really expecting when I read the book either. And I was like, oh, this is cool.
Exactly. So the final book that I bought last week, I didn't finish. And I'm like a little bummed because I was really trying, but I read so much that I'm not actually bummed at all.
No, I'm amazed.
It was Mexican Gothic.
Oh my gosh.
By Sylvia Moreno Garcia. And I made it 3 chapters in.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, no, Ariel, you're not going to pull this one off, but that's
okay. This is a crazy heist you're trying to pull.
But I mean, even the fact that I started it and I'm three chapters in. So what can I say so far? Not much has happened. We've got this main character who so far I really don't like. Ooh. I think she's kind of garbage. and I don't know if she's supposed to be, though. Like, I kind of feel like the author is trying to write her as like a cool character. Like, oh, this character is so cool. But I'm like, ugh, she seems like a moron.
Oh, geez.
So I'm kind of worried about that. I'm a little bit like, is that going to persist throughout the entire novel? Am I going to get sick of her? Or is this a case where the author is going to kind of try and turn her around and make her become more likable? Yeah. Maybe. It is a little bit slow and it's a little bit dramatic. Like, it's a little bit like, I don't know, dramatic. That's the word.
Yeah.
So we will see.
What an experience.
I am going to give it a shot and... Yeah, we will see. We will see.
Well, that is very impressive. I'm amazed that you did that.
Thanks, man. I really wanted to. I was like, I've got to do it. I've got to show Raylene. I was like, but Raylene doesn't care and Raylene doesn't know. But no, I was like, I have to keep going.
But I know now.
Now you know. That's
what matters. Now everyone knows. You're a champion.
Now everyone knows.
You're incredible.
That's so funny.
Damn. Well, I guess the last portion of this section of the pod is, did you buy anything since last week? Okay, I have a little bit of a book haul, so I will dive into that real quick. So, first up, I just got the first three volumes in the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. Yeah, they're the beautiful trade paperbacks. I've been wanting to get into this series. Like, this is a huge gap in my Stephen King kind of repertoire. I read the first book, The Gunslinger, a few years ago and just like was like, okay, that was fine. And then never continued on with the series. But one of my friends read the whole series a couple years ago and loved it. Like, she's obsessed with the series. So I was like, okay, yeah, I think I do want to give them another chance. Like, they've got crazy, like, kind of alternate dimension type vibes going on, and I'm like, that's really cool. Like, it's like a western, but there's also crazy sci-fi stuff, and I know that the series just gets like super weird later on, and I'm like, I like that kind of stuff. Why have I not read this?
So
my friend found these for me used. She found them at the thrift store, which is why I got the first three, but I'm now on the hunt for the rest of the series.
How many books are there? About that.
Seven.
Oh wow. Okay.
There's a total of seven, and they're going to take up so much room on my shelf.
Yeah, they get bigger and bigger.
Because they're hefty books. They're big boys.
Will you reread the first one?
Yeah. I don't remember much about what happens. Okay, I remember a couple of details, but you know how I am. I can't remember a book I read a couple weeks ago, so I always need to reread things. Next up, very exciting book that I've been waiting to arrive, and that is Anime Supremacy by Mizuki Tsujimura.
Yes.
So I mentioned this a while ago in Bookolds, and I got the manga that this author wrote. Just as a reminder, this is the author that wrote The Lonely Castle in the Mirror. She's kind of more well-known for that book nowadays. So I got her manga, and I got this book that I don't know why, but I was 100% convinced that this book was manga as well.
Yeah.
It's not. No. It's not. It turns out it's not. I think that maybe I saw that there was an illustrator like listed somewhere on Goodreads or something. And it's because there are like the odd drawings. Like on chapter one, there's like this little comic kind of drawing. So I think maybe that's where my misunderstanding came from. But it looks super cute. This is the one that's about three women who are all in the anime industry. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, that seems so like such an exciting concept for a novel. Like I've never read a book like that.
Also,
be very excited.
To be fair, the cover looks like a manga.
It does.
It fully does. So I can see why you got confused.
It was so rude to do me like that. Okay, I only have a couple more. I kept it pretty cool, kept it under wraps this week. Didn't buy too many. Well, next up, I got The Trayvon Generation by Elizabeth Alexander. And this is just like a cute little book. I didn't realize it was so small. I just got it from my local used bookstore. I gave them a huge list of books recently. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I gave them a list of like 50 books that I'm like on the lookout for. So they might start rolling in, but I've decided I'm trying to be good and not buy new books so much. So we will see. But yeah, I'll just read a little bit from the description of this book that kind of gives you an understanding of what it is. Mm-hmm. In the midst of civil unrest in the summer of 2020 and following the murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, Elizabeth Alexander, one of the great literary voices of our time, turned a mother's eye to her son's and students' generation and wrote a celebrated and moving reflection on the challenges facing young Black America. And so this was like an essay that was originally published in The New Yorker has now been kind of bound up as a beautiful little book. And it has photographs and like poems throughout. Wow. So I heard about this book a little while ago and was like, that sounds like something I need to own. So I was really happy to get a used copy so quickly.
Yeah,
it's quite new. It just came out this year, I think. So that was really exciting. And while I was at the store to pick up that book, I kind of was just wandering around because I also got rid of... this is actually fine. I bought a book that I've already read that I've just been wanting to get.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Because
I was just wandering around the store while I waited for them to go through my books that I was giving to them. And they had a little rack that was like new arrivals to go out on the shelf. And I was like, oh, I'll just look. And I found The Office by Andy Green. This is the Office book. It's the full title is The Office, The Untold Story of the Greatest Sitcom of the 2000s. And this is a book that I got from the library last year and read and absolutely loved and have now been hunting for. I thought that I had put a request for this one at the store that I went to, but I guess I didn't because they never called me. So I just saw it and was like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
So that was just an excellent find for me. I felt really happy to find that book. So
that's a really good find.
Little haul.
I feel like that would also be an expensive book to buy.
It would be like $30-something.
Yeah.
It's this honkin' hardcover. $37. Geez.
Yeah.
So I have a store credit, so I got it for like $8. Heck yeah. So yeah, that's my little haul. Kind of a big haul, but it all happened by accident, pretty much. The way these things do. But also recently I reorganized my 3 bookcases that I have and like took out a bunch that didn't need to be in there anymore. I reorganized, but it's still like so tight somehow. Like I sent you pictures and you were like, they're so full.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, now I actually don't know where I'm going to put these books because I formulated my shelves in such a way that everything just fits perfectly. I don't know.
Would you get a new shelf?
I would. I just don't have anywhere to put one.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem.
Gotcha.
Like, I could get maybe a really small shelf. Like, I could get just a short little shelf that could go somewhere else, but I don't have room for another Billy bookcase as it were, you know? I just don't have space for that. But I really could use another one. I used to have 4. That was the thing before, like years ago, before we moved twice or whatever it was, I had 4 bookcases, but had to get rid of one because there just wasn't enough space in the place we were living. So I'm used to having 4 and I miss having 4. I really, really do.
We're only minutes away from you needing 5. So
I think having only 3 really keeps me in check. I'm like, wait a minute. I actually can't buy anymore now.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no place for the books now, so.
Are you going to start double stacking?
Oh, I really don't like doing that. Although I do a lot of, like, I'll stack my books sideways and make a really tall stack every here and there just because, like, you can utilize that extra space at the top. But, no, I don't like double stack. Yeah. I don't like it when they're too crammed looking.
Yeah.
I still want them to be happy and pretty. Okay, well, now that we're done talking about what we've been reading, what we've bought, what I've bought, it's about time we got into book news.
Incredible. I am very excited about book news. I've got a couple of fun things to talk about. The first and the most important, this is pressing. Breaking news. Beep, beep, beep. Breaking news. Bargain Bin Rom-Com by Lena Norms. Lena's new, brand new, her first poetry collection is out. So obviously we had Lena on the podcast a few months ago. And it was the best because she's the best. And people really enjoyed that episode, which makes me really happy. Lena is one of my best friends. I think that she's a genius and she's also one of the kindest people I know. And I'm so excited about her that this collection is out. And I've read it.
Awesome.
Well, I haven't finished reading it, actually. I'm excited because I have a couple poems and I think I'll just start it over because her poems are so good. But they're really funny. They're funny and they're insightful and they're meaningful, and I think everyone will really enjoy it. So
awesome.
Everyone go check it out. I'm going to put a link in the description because in the show notes, because you should check it out and support my pal. That is out now. So that's exciting news. Definitely. Sweet. That came out like a couple days ago. I'm also kind of pissed because there was a launch party in the UK and I couldn't go.
That's can't be everywhere all at once.
Unfortunately not. Okay, this next piece of news, maybe some like people already know about, but I found out about it in the weirdest way. So okay. I love going on IMDb rabbit holes. I really enjoy it. It's one of my favorite apps. I love being like watching a movie or a show and just being like, oh, what has that person been in? And I look them up on IMDb and down the rabbit hole I go, right? Yep. And so I actually do not remember how I got here, but I was looking at the page for Marielle Heller. So Marielle, which is always such a confusing name to me, Marielle. I don't know. There's something there. Marielle Heller is the mom in The Queen's Gambit.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess she's the adoptive mom, but she's, you know, because there's the other mom character. So to clarify, what's really interesting about Marielle Heller, first of all, I just think she's phenomenal. And I can imagine CJ, who's editing the podcast, just nodding because we loved her so much in The Queen's Gambit. Like, we just thought she was so, so good. And so when I was watching her in The Queen's Gambit, I was like, gosh, she's such a great actress. Like, I just love her. She's so charming. Mm. I was like, I wonder what else she's done. Like, maybe she's another stuff I could watch her in. So what's crazy about her is that she's also a director. And she's directed some giant movies.
Really? Oh gosh, that's so surprising.
She directed A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, that movie about Mr. Rogers that stars Tom Hanks. Wow. So, and I think he won an Oscar for it, or the movie won an Oscar. And then she also directed Can You Ever Forgive Me, that starred Melissa McCarthy, the one about being an art forger, or like a letter forger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that one also won some Oscars, or was at least nominated for some Oscars. So she's like this award-winning, very prestigious director. But then she was also... But you know what's even not crazier? But who she's married to is also really interesting.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. I always find this kind of stuff fun and interesting. She's married to... Do you know the Lonely Island?
Yes. Oh, gosh. Wait, what?
So, yeah. Her husband... Hold on. I want to make sure it's the right one. Yeah. Her husband is Yorma Taccone. So he's one of the three members of Lonely Island. Not and Andy Samberg. Then there's the other two.
Oh, yeah. This guy who's in Hot Rod with Andy Samberg.
Yeah, he's in lots of stuff.
That's funny.
That's her husband. To him. Oh, my God. I can't believe that. I'm just like, Marielle Heller is such an interesting person, right?
She really is. I never would have guessed.
I don't remember why, but I was like looking at some project, maybe she was associated to it or something, and I was like, oh yeah, like I wonder if she has anything new lined up. So I thought I'd take a little look at what's going on with her.
Okay.
And she has some upcoming projects, and I was like, oh, that's exciting. So I clicked on that. In production, she is directing Night Bitch.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, as in the Night Bitch book? Yes. And Amy Adams is going to star in it. Did we know this? I feel like we didn't, right?
How did I not figure that out when I read the book?
I know.
I just didn't. I in my head, that's not something that I can imagine being adapted yet. Like, I feel like we're not ready for that yet. The world isn't ready.
So there are not a lot of details available about this yet. Like, when you go to the IMDb page, all it says is director Marielle Heller, writers Marielle Heller and Rachel Yoder, because obviously she wrote the book. Mm-hmm. And then it says Amy Adams is in the cast, and also Scoot McNairy, who I don't know, but it's been in a lot of big things. Argo, 12 Years a Slave, Frank. Wasn't Frank directed by John Ronson. No, he wrote it. Okay, he wrote it. Anyway, God, this tunnel.
It's a rabbit hole. You always get sucked into something else.
That's literally me on IMDb right now. You're hearing how these tunnels happen.
But that's also how you discover new random things like that. Yeah. Like looking at people's upcoming projects, sometimes you can be surprised to find what's being adapted. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, huh? I know. So I think that's very interesting and fun. I really like her. I think she's such a cool lady, and so I'm excited that she's like directing this book, and I think it's fun that this book you read is being adapted, and then it's gonna star Amy Adams. So
that's just wild. That's awesome.
It's just a whole freaking thing. My computer's trying to do an update, you guys. Try tonight.
Try a little later, would you?
Okay, so the final piece of news is interesting. And I want to really go into this with a measured hand. Everybody chill out. It's all going to be okay. I haven't seen the movie. I'm not saying my opinion.
Okay.
Persuasion, starring Dakota Johnson, is coming to Netflix July 15th. Right?
Wow. So, oh my God, I didn't realize it was so soon.
Yeah, so that's already out by the time this comes out. That's information we already knew. Mm-hmm. However, in the last few days, clearly all of the press people got their early viewing copies they're now allowed. The embargo has been lifted on reviews.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm a big Austin fan. I'm obviously I'm also a really big like Austin adaptation fan. Like I grew up on them more than I grew up on the books. And so I'm very invested and I get very emotional about these things. It's really funny because like. Well, for example, Pride and Prejudice, right? I love the 2005 version. A lot of people love the 2005 version. But then there's a lot of people who hate it. And they're like, what are we talking about? The 1995 version. That's the one that's worth anything. And it's like, you know, for me, I enjoy almost all of... I've definitely seen some kind of crummy ones. But, you know, overall, I really just enjoy the act of them being adapted. And it's exciting because it means that Jane Austen keeps... re-entering the conversation and keep staying alive. So when the Emma version was announced, I was really anxious I really loved the 2008 version with Romila Garai. And I was like, no, you don't need to remake it. We've already done it well, you know? Right. But that's not how this works. Like, they're going to keep being made. And thankfully, I loved the 2020 version. The Emma, Anya Taylor-Joy was
so good.
So phenomenal in that role. And all of the characters, I love. The only complaint I have about it is that it wasn't long enough. I would have loved if instead it had been a mini series and we could have had more of it all because I think it was such a well done world, right? So I feel the same way about this Persuasion. And maybe a little more anxious because Persuasion is my favorite of the Austen books.
Ooh.
There's a Sally Hawkins version that I really like, but there's some other options that people like more or less or whatever. So when they announced Dakota Johnson, I don't know if you remember, but I was like, huh. I'm like,
yeah, well,
I'm not
what
gonna
a choice.
I'm not going to say anything because maybe people could have said that about Anya Taylor-Joy. Like, does she fit a piece like this? I don't know. And she did such a good job. So, like, you never know until you actually watch the movie. And I saw this one review of Dakota Johnson's performance that was like, Dakota Johnson's face is a face that's seen a cell phone. And it's like such a weird thing to say, but it also makes so much sense to me. Like she just looks so
modern. Yeah.
She looks modern and I don't know what it is. Like I don't know, maybe it's the way she's done her eyebrows, but like I have no idea, but it's hard to imagine her in a period setting.
Yeah, she doesn't fit into the image of 200 years ago.
Exactly. So it's a little, and I laughed when I saw that, but basically the reviews are out. And really, they're not good.
Uh-oh.
Again, you guys, I am not saying I don't like it. I haven't seen it. But as a big fan, this is part of the journey. Part of the journey is the first wave of reviews, right? And it could also be one of these things where critics don't like it, but people love it.
Exactly.
You don't know. But here are some of the headlines. It's so bad. Okay. From The Independent. Persuasion review. Dakota Johnson is woefully miscast in mortifying Jane Austen adaptation. And this is kind of, it's brutal. But the subtitle for that one, the tagline is, At no point during Carrie Cracknell's directorial debut do you ever get the sense that anyone's actually read Persuasion.
Uh-oh.
Which is so brutal. Let's see. Some of these other ones were, The Guardian, Persuasion Review, A Travesty of Jane Austen, Paste Yikes. Magazine, Netflix's Persuasion is Jane Austen for people who didn't do the reading. Entertainment Weekly, Persuasion reworks Jane Austen for the Instagram age and suffers for it. Persuasion Review from The Times, Austen meets Fleabag in this cringeworthy Netflix makeover.
Oh, geez. It I just feel people who on. Don't like Jane Austen will probably love this movie.
Maybe.
I feel like that's what they're going for.
Maybe. Why Austenites are raging over the Persuasion trailer. Oh, okay, that was from 4 weeks ago. Yeah. So, listen. It's not good. Or, like, it's not looking good, right? Not looking good. There was one review from Deadline. The last line of which is, at the very least, there is the constant welcome presence of Johnson, who gamely soldiers through the inspired and somewhat misguided aspects of this production and keeps it more or less on track. It's unfaithful fun. So that's not negative, right? So I think maybe it's just about expectations. Like, maybe it kind of sounds like all of these reviewers went in expecting kind of a serious adaptation, and what they've done, what they've created, is like a kind of a goofy, weird adaptation, and maybe people aren't liking that. Now I'm even more excited to see it in a way. Now I'm like,
I mean, I'll want to know my own opinion. Frankly, very excited. When I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this looks silly. Like, it looks like fun. And that appeals to me, because I'm not into Victorian, like, period pieces for the most part, because I just find them to be kind of stuffy and boring for the most part. That's just
how
a generalization.
How did you feel?
But
you liked Emma, though, right?
I did, yeah. I really did like Emma. Yeah.
And I feel like
that was the first time I've been like, wait a minute, that was really good. What else might I like?
Yeah. So, well, I don't know. I found it really interesting. I'm not like, again, I feel like people can tell how anxious I am. I'm like scared people are gonna be like, how dare you talk about you haven't seen it. No, I haven't. I don't know what I'm excited, though, because I'm excited either way. I'm excited to agree with the critics and be like, this was a disaster, or I'm excited on the other hand to be like, I think all the critics are being like stuffy, and I think this is actually a great adaptation for these reasons. So I think it's going to be really fun to see. A lot of people were mentioning Fleabag.
Because I feel like, does she like look at the camera sometimes? I feel like she might do that. Yeah, like, that's definitely a Fleabag vibe.
Yeah. Which obviously other shows have done, like Parks and Recs, I feel like, was one of those big first ones, in The Office as well.
In The Office, yeah. But like, they're like mockumentary. So it's kind of implied.
So Fleabag maybe is kind of the biggest fiction, like the story is set in fiction.
Yeah.
Version of where the character just looks at the screen a lot, and apparently that happens a lot with this Persuasion.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. I'm into it. Obviously, it seems like a weird choice for a Jane Austen adaptation, but I think it'll still, for me, possibly make a fun movie.
Yeah,
so I haven't read the book. I don't have any attachments to the book, so I'm kind of like a free agent.
They have actually done that before.
Oh yeah.
So with the here I go. Sorry, everyone. Here I go. With the other Persuasion, the one I mentioned, the Sally Hawkins, she looks us like four times.
Oh, really?
And it is so, how do I put this? It's so unnerving and it's so impactful. Because basically she'll go through like a horrible moment of emotional pain. And then you're seeing her kind of crying or just being upset. And then she'll look at you and you're like, oh my God, we're not supposed to be at this intimate moment. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like they did it in such a powerful, beautiful way. And then I think it also happens in the Northanger Abbey version. I'm pretty sure in the Northanger Abbey version with Felicity Jones. So it's definitely a thing that's been done before, and it can work and it cannot work. And we'll just see how it goes. We will see how that goes.
Very intriguing. Well, that's exciting and scary news. I actually have a piece of book news that I discovered yesterday.
Oh, fun, please.
Big news for comic fans, specifically fans of Saga. So here's the thing that's been going on. So, I mean, I don't know the full story. I don't know why they were on hiatus, but Saga by Brian K. Vaughan and illustrated by Fiona Staples is this huge comic series that, you know, there was, it just took over, you know, everyone. Like, it was one of the first comics that I read, and I know the BookTube community kind of went nuts for Saga when as it was coming out. And then Volume 9 came out in 2018, and we've been waiting for Volume 10 ever since.
Oh.
So it's been 4 years.
Okay.
And I just discovered yesterday that Volume 10 is coming out on October 5th.
Wow. I mean, there's so many people who just heard that and got so relieved.
Yeah, like, it's finally happening. We've been, I just had kind of given up. Like, in my head, I was like, the series is never going to get finished. That's, something happened, and that's just where we are. But Volume 10 is happening, and it'll be here in just a couple of months, and I am so freaking excited.
Wow.
So you may see me rereading the series over the next couple of months.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I'll probably be doing that, because it's been so long since I read them now that I'm like, I need to get back into that world.
Wow.
And, oh my God, I'm just so excited.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
Imagine what it'll be like if George R. R. Martin ever finishes Game of Thrones.
Oh my God.
I feel like the people will be so excited they'll just pass out.
Well, and same with like Patrick Rothfuss. We're still waiting for the third book.
Yeah.
So I want to be the one to deliver that news when it's available.
I will be ready
to break. I won't be the first person to tell everyone, but I want to be here to break it on the pod.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. No, we'll sign
be
of 80, that.
That'll be when we come out of retirement as 80-year-olds. We'll be like, they have found a manuscript of the book.
At last. I've been waiting 50 years for this. But yeah, that's all I got. Well,
cool.
Good stuff. We're not doing recommendations today, guys, because, you know, we reached the end. It was long. We're tired. We're done.
She's being nice. I forgot to prep them. Also, we talked for a long time, so I feel fine about it.
It's true. It's true. It's all of the things. But we've got some interesting ones that we will be talking about next week. One of them involves oatmeal. That's all I'll say. So we are now off to go record our bonus mini podcast, Movie Tub, where we have been keeping you guys updated on our Stranger Things watching, as well as what other movies and shows we've been watching. So check it out if you're a patron. If you're not a patron, maybe you do want to check it out.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's pretty cool. We had a lot of fun over there.
Yesterday on the live show, somebody asked us, how is progress going towards us dyeing our hair peach?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
And I think it'd be fun to do a little update for everyone on the pod. So we said that if we ever reached $5,000 of monthly support for the podcast on our Patreon, we would dye our hair peach, both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are at 57% of the way to that goal. So we've shot right past half. We've made it to half. So every patron that joins tips the jar one little bit. And I'm sure you're glad it didn't happen before you got married.
I would have made us wait. I would have said, just wait a couple months, okay?
Maybe August 12th would be a good day.
Exactly. I'll be ready as soon as that's done.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, good plug. But yeah, we're heading over to go record the Movie Tub, which the name has stuck. People were resistant to it at first, but it's the
good
name that we're going with.
It's good, and you're right. I've seen people, they're like, I'm really excited on the next Movie Tub for you guys to do this. And I'm like, it's catching on. The people are embracing it.
Love that. All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.